Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Welcome back to Mood with Lauren Elizabeth. I am Lauren Elizabeth. And today for our current mood convo, I'm going to be joined with one of my OG podcast friends and just obviously now real life friend, Scout Sobel. She is absolutely incredible as a human being and as an emotional entrepreneur. That's the title of her book. She is the founder of Scouts Agency, a PR agency that gets women as guests on podcasts. She is the co-host of the OK Sis podcast with her sister Maddie, my other friend. Hey Mads, what's up? Her story is absolutely incredible. She is so beyond successful, and it obviously did not come without trials and tribulations. She's been living with a severe case of bipolar disorder for 15 years, and she was once unable to hold a job, go to college, or literally just function in today's society. But obviously now she manages her bipolar disorder successfully. She uses her mental strength to fuel her entrepreneurial dreams, and she shares her mental health journey to inspire other women to feel safe in their emotions and follow their calling with her solo podcast and with her new book, Emotional Entrepreneur. We are going to get into all things Scout, and you guys are going to absolutely love this conversation. It's just so real. It's so honest, and it's really inspiring. I feel like for me personally, it's exactly what I needed to hear last week, and I feel like you guys are going to love her just as much as I do. But first, let's obviously jump into best mood and worst mood of the week. I have to say that I feel like it's just so legit now that you guys are also writing down your best moods and worst moods, whether they're of the week or of the day, of the month, whatever it is. You guys sold out the journal in literally like, I think, 3 days, which is insane, because if you watch the YouTube video or just, I don't know, listen to me talk, hi, you're doing it right now. You know how much this journal meant to me, because usually I'm able to just like think of something, create it with my team. And this was something that, you know, everyone was like, you know, why don't we start with a blank journal? Why don't we do this? We don't want to invest the money because what if it doesn't work? And so I literally was like, no, I know this is going to work. This is what I want to do. I want to do it the right way. And I literally made these journals all on my own. Obviously, I had help shipping them to you guys because I didn't want you all to murder me. They literally got to you guys in like 45 seconds because I'm already seeing so many Instagrams. And I'm just so beyond grateful. And I'll kind of talk about it why in my worst mood. But I just have to say thank you guys so much for selling out the journals. I wish I had an update right now for you, because usually I do. But since obviously, like I said, this launch was very different, I did it by myself. I have to figure out like what we do now, because y'all sold it out so fast. So thank you so, so, so much. I like, it just feels so real. I literally prepped for the podcast in the journal today, which was really, really fun. And I'm going to post it on Instagram at Lauren Elizabeth, at Mood with Lauren Elizabeth. And now let's talk about my best mood. Or should we do worst mood first? I'm looking at the journal. Let's see. Okay, let's do worst mood first, because my worst mood this week was just like not feeling good enough. And I talk a lot about how I've been on this like lifelong journey to feel valuable and to feel worthy and to feel good enough. And I've come such a long, long way, but I definitely have realized, especially the past week, couple weeks, I've really just been taking on all of the negative thoughts in my head and internalizing them, not as like 100% truth, but definitely like letting them get in my way, get in my head. I feel like it comes a lot to just like life and then career. So I feel like that's why I get so much anxiety when I go on social media, is because I'm just like, why am I on here? Like, no one cares. What am I doing? I don't belong here anymore. Like, I just don't feel good enough. And I'm not saying this to like feel sympathy. I'm just trying to explain. Like, sometimes I just feel like I'm just not successful and irrelevant and stupid. And then it kind of like trickles obviously into my personal life where I'm just like, oh my God, I'm single. I'm not good enough. I'm the worst, blah, blah, blah. And it's just obviously like a really shitty feeling when you're just like constant, like those thoughts are just like coming in all the time. And it's like been to the point where like I've, oh my God, I feel like I could like literally cry right now. I just feel like, oh my God. Okay. I just feel like, I think that's why I didn't do the podcast last week. And I just took time off of Instagram. Oh my God, what is wrong with me? I'm so sorry. Just because I feel like I just feel like I've been really down on myself a lot lately. And it, obviously it's so much easier to talk about these things when they're in hindsight, because then you don't sound like this. So really, really sorry. I didn't expect this to happen and I'm kind of annoyed. So let's move on to best mood. My best mood of the week is noticing the narratives I tell myself. And I've been working on this a lot with my therapist because when I talk to her about things that are happening or going on and I'm explaining to her kind of basically what I just explained to you guys in worst mood, she was just like, you have to like notice like how you're framing this in your mind and the narrative you're making around this. Like, for instance, let's say like I didn't sell out the journal, right? Which like obviously that was like the biggest fucking mood booster ever based on like how I'm feeling. Not that like, you know, that that's what defines my mental health, but it, that's what I'm saying. Like it's a mood booster. Just, it, you know, it was just so fucking nice and amazing. But like, let's say I didn't sell it out and I was on the phone with my therapist. I would just be like, I'm irrelevant. I'm stupid. I'm unsuccessful. I'm never going to like all that stuff. And like, well, I didn't sell out because of X, Y, and Z. And she just really calls me out. I'm like, is that true? Like, why are you framing it this way? Like, listen to how you're speaking to yourself. Listen to the narrative you're telling yourself about why this is happening or why this happened. Because I tend to take on everything as my own problem. When I say my own problem, it's because I am the problem. So I've really been focusing in my best mood of like realizing what I'm saying about a situation. I was even just getting coffee with a friend and I wasn't like 100%, but I was like, okay, don't you think that this didn't totally happen because of me? Because in reality, I actually wasn't being crazy or like whatever. She's like, no, yeah, like this like literally didn't happen because of you at all. Like you're fine. When if I didn't say that and I didn't notice that narrative, I would have just taken that on as like, oh my God, this one thing happened because it's me and it's all my fault. So that's why like I really encourage you guys to be vulnerable even with just friends and stuff, because even just saying it out loud and, you know, like you should have friends in your life that are going to be straight up with you no matter what. And so when I say like, hey, this is the narrative I'm telling myself. Is this true or like false? My friends will like be like, okay, well, it's half true, or no, it's not true at all. Like they're not going to lie to me and just gas me up. So I think it's really good that I'm at least noticing the narratives I tell myself about stuff in my head, because or else it's going to kill me, like literally. And so my best mood has been at least noticing and cutting it off a little bit sooner. I mean, I'm clearly still like not 100%. And I was even just like thinking throughout the week, just how, you know, I talk so much about mental health and I have this podcast and obviously all this stuff. And I feel like sometimes it's, there's this expectation that like, since I talk about it and I'm so open about it, that I'm like fine. And I think there's like a big misconception of like living with mental illness that I, just because I have anxiety and depression and I'm like very open about it and take good care of myself and do therapy and like all this stuff, just means that I'm like healed 100%. And I think that that's just never going to be the case. I think I'm going to have longer and longer stretches of periods of times where I am okay. And I'm way more okay than I once was. I'm way better at getting okay. But the reason I talk about mental health is because I struggle with my mental health. So when I'm not okay, and I can't work or get out of bed or whatever, I feel like, you know, when I talk about it, I don't want it to be like, oh my God, this is getting old or whatever. And it's like, you think it's getting old? Like it's getting old for me too. But I want to give people hope that like you're gonna be okay. Like if I can be okay and like I can get through all this stuff and like I can still like, yeah, I missed a week of my podcast. That sucks. Like I literally just lost money last week. It's not good, but I'm able to do it this week and I'm able to keep going. And I just was like, could have been bawling crying about, I don't know, 3 minutes ago. So I just want to, I don't know, say that to be like, you're going to be okay. And I think I'm more okay than I realize. And that's a part of the narrative I tell myself. Like, I could easily cry and be so upset and all this stuff. And like, I don't realize how okay I am because I want to just think about all the worst things and I want to make things worse in my head and I want to feel badly about myself. And you have to realize the narrative you're telling yourself, and you have to like really ground yourself in reality and realize what is happening and like how much actually good you have in your life instead of just focusing on all the shitty stuff that's either happening or has happened or how you feel. You guys, gaps in the diet shouldn't be ignored. I mean, there's over 97% of women aged 19 to 50 that are not getting enough vitamin D from their diet, and 95% are not getting enough of their recommended daily intake of key omega-3s. These are two very important things to me, and I talk to you about them all the time. If you're very overwhelmed and you don't know like where to start, I highly recommend Rituals Essential for Women 18 Plus Multivitamin. It was formulated by exhaustive research to help fill nutrient gaps in the diets of women ages 18 plus. So it's formulated with nutrients to help support brain health, bone health, blood health, and provide antioxidant support. But you guys, Ritual didn't stop there. They also invested in a gold standard university-led clinical trial, which you know I geek out about every single time I talk about it, because they wanted to prove the impact of the Essential for Women 18 Plus Multivitamin. And you know the result. It was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43%, omega-3 DHA levels by 41%, and this is all in just 12 weeks. Getting a published clinical study is a big deal and a serious commitment to a first-of-its-kind standard in the industry. So if you're not a geek like me, you need to know that this is actually like really, really big deal. They're also committed to third-party testing from USP and the Non-GMO Project, traceable and vegan-friendly ingredients, and always clear communication, no shady stuff. And I'm really excited because I saw this on Instagram. They just released their new Symbiotic Plus. It's a gut health supplement with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and postbiotics all in one minty capsule. It's just one delayed release Symbiotic Plus capsule per day, so you don't have to have this whole like gut routine, and it supports your gut with all the quality and traceability you'd expect from Ritual. I'm so excited about their new product because you guys know I absolutely love their multivitamin. It's so easy to travel with. My favorite part is that it obviously has that like minty flavor, because sometimes I like don't want to be taking pills or whatever. So I'm a huge fan of Ritual, and I'm so excited about their Symbiotic Plus because I've never seen anything like it. So I was like, whoa, what is this? Right now, Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off your first 3 months. So visit ritual.com/mood and turn healthy habits into a ritual. That's 10% off at ritual.com/mood. For mood boosters this week, one of my mood boosters, ironically, was an emotional release because I just like, you know, I jot notes down. I'm not going to like write the whole thing. And basically, this is so embarrassing. It was a mood booster for two reasons, because you guys know that I've been watching the show Nashville, which is just a mood booster in itself, because you know a good binge, there's nothing like it for us anxiety girlies. We have a show, we know our characters, we feel safe, we feel comfortable, like we're engaged, but we kind of know what to expect. So Nashville has been a huge mood booster for me because I've been just absolutely loving watching it and being cozy on the couch, like I always tell you. If you've watched Nashville, you know like the big thing that happens, and if you haven't, I won't say anything, but I will just say that I was hysterically crying for, I'm literally not over exaggerating, 2 hours. Like, I'm not kidding you, hysterically crying. And I was thinking about it, and I just feel like it was this emotional release for me that I probably needed, because I feel like I could have cried a lot more in the past month than I have. And I feel like I was just triggered because, A, like I cry at TV shows. I'm a Cancer. Cancer season's over, but whatever. Like, we do not change. I don't know. Like, I probably would have cried at the TV show, but I think it triggered me to the point where like I was like bawling crying for 2 hours and just felt so many things. But at the same time, I feel like that's why I say you have to feel your feelings, because I think I needed to cry and I think I needed to bawl my eyes out. And it just really helped me like realize like why I was triggered and like why I was crying. And it was this big emotional release that I think really, really helped me and helped me see a little bit more clearly. And like, obviously it's hysterical that it came from a stupid TV show. Oh, I don't think it's stupid, but you know what I mean? It came from a TV show and it's odd, but honestly, like I feel like a mood booster was bawling crying. Like, it was an emotional release and it really honestly helped me a lot. And clearly I might need another one because I started crying on the intro of this podcast and had to pull it together. So that's interessante Dante. But before I did that, that's what I wrote down for my mood booster. My next mood booster is clicking play on a workout I don't want to do. And the reason I say I don't want to do it is not because I don't want to work out. I've actually been like really addicted to working out the past week. I think it's just because I've had so much anxiety, like I need a place to put it, which is so odd. That's never been like my thing until the past like few months. But the reason I don't want to click it is because the thing I told you guys about, I get embarrassed in the gym and it's so freaking annoying. It's like literally so annoying. I'm like, no one's looking at you. No one cares. Why are you so embarrassed? Like, I feel like the only thing I'm not embarrassed to do in the gym is abs. And it's like, if I have weights, I'm embarrassed. If I'm doing like a butt exercise or something, I get embarrassed because like I don't have any like butt. And I feel like I don't want like people to like look at me. I don't know. I hate being looked at. I don't know. And so I told myself, Lauren, you need to like get over it. You can't just do abs for the rest of your life. You can do a workout that requires standing up because I feel like if I'm laying down, no one can see me as much. You know what I mean? And so I pressed play on like two workouts I didn't want to do. I did one booty workout by Melissa Wood Health. Obviously, I did a Sammy Clark ab. I did like something arms. I did something. But I basically have been like pushing myself to do other workouts in the gym, feel the fear and do it anyway because I have a fear of people looking at me and looking stupid and just anything in general. I even like brought my ball of weights downstairs and set up my thing. And I have to say, like, shout out to the girl who was in the gym using her ball of weights, doing Pilates, looking at her phone. I like, it inspired me. I was like, she's doing it. Why do I care so much? I don't know why I care so much because I'm a psychopath. So I was really proud of myself and I want to keep pushing myself because it's like, who cares? And I want to do so much more in the gym, but I just get so much in my head because I'm literally exposing myself as a crazy person. Whatever. Feel the fear and do it anyway, ladies. My next mood booster is a little bit of a nighttime ritual. I've been drinking this tea before bed and then taking my Symbiotica, like little pouch vitamins before bed. And I just really like it because I like having that stuff on my nightstand. Usually I'm just like a bring your big ass water to your nightstand girly and like take your meds. But I've been bringing those like couple little things to the bedroom and it helps me wind down a little bit. It's kind of like in the winter when I told you guys about like my whole foot cream and lotion routine and everything, and I don't really need that in the summer because like I'm not dry at all. Yeah, this was like a nice little switch up. I definitely need to get like a tea kettle, is that what it's called? Because I'm craving like even a little bit more tea. I'll tell you guys about the tea that I drink next podcast because I'm not like 100% committed to telling you guys what I like yet because I need to be obsessed with it. But I have liked having that little extra nighttime ritual of the little pouches, the little bit of tea, and then kind of like getting into the coziness, you know? And finally, my last mood booster is it's a new motherfucking month. It is August and I've never been so excited. July just like literally fucking sucked and that's okay. It's fine. It's over. So I think when I saw that it was August 1st, I thought, huh, like this is really like, I could make this whatever I want. Like I could look back and be like, wow, the past 30 days have been pretty tight. You know what I mean? So I think it was just this nice headspace of realizing it was a new month and realizing July was over and like knowing my birthday month was over because I just like didn't even care about my birthday. I mean, I never really do. But there was just something refreshing about like a new month. It's like less pressure than a new year or anything like that. It's just a new clean slate, a new month. It's August. And I don't know. I just like having like a fresh sheet of the calendar, a fresh everything. And so honestly, it was a really big mood booster that July was over and it's August and it's a new month. Are you tired of bras that don't fit small chests? Pepper bras are designed for small chested women with AA to B cups. They're founded by women and Pepper bras provide the perfect fit and flattering lift for no more cup gaps. I've been kind of into like a little bit of lift lately, a little bit of like making it look like I have boobs. Like I've been wearing a little bit of bras. I didn't even know where to shop for them. I didn't even know how to get them. And that's why I was so excited when I saw Pepper because they fit perfectly for AA to B cups and you don't have like those cup gaps or like uncomfortable padding. It's just like the perfect fit. I mean, their customers love it. Pepper has literally sold 1 million bras in just 5 years, which is absolutely insane. And their mission is to inspire women to embrace and celebrate your body as it is. So there's no like unnatural padding to make you look like two sizes bigger. It just kind of like makes your chest look like a better version of your boobs when you want to wear a bra. Does that make sense? Because like that's like what I wanted to feel like. And so I've really been loving it. It's so comfortable. And they're designed to make you feel positive, empowered, love your body as it is. If you don't trust me, they've been featured in BuzzFeed, Oprah Daily, Glamour, CNN, NBC, and Pop Sugar. You can try Pepper risk-free with free shipping and returns on orders over $99. And just embrace the flat and flattering with bras that celebrate your body just as it is. You can get 20% 20% off your first order when you go to wearpepper.com/mood. That's W-E-A-R pepper.com/mood to get 20% off your first order. W-E-A-R pepper.com/mood. Okay, you guys, enough from me. I clearly need to go gather myself anyway. Enjoy. Hashtag girl boss, podcaster, soon to be mama, everything. And obviously we've known each other for a few years now, but this is, I think, the first time I've had you by yourself on your podcast, because we recorded like forever ago in Los Angeles when my podcast was a mess.
Your podcast was not a mess. It was super fun. We came to your house. Yeah, that was a really, really long time ago. I feel like before even the podcast industry is like blown up to what it is today, it was a lot more casual. It was a lot more fun. And I'm excited to be here solo because I think I'm definitely, obviously I'm the co-host of Okie's podcast with Mads. But I definitely think that I'm a different person solo. Like, I feel like on Okie's I am who I am with my sister. And then other places, totally. I'm just who Scout is, you know?
I feel that I want to normalize people having multiple versions of themselves.
Yes.
I think it comes along with branding and social media, and even whether you do it like as a career or just what you put on the internet. I'm just, why do I have to be the exact same person on every single platform and just have like one part of myself? Like, sometimes we're psychopaths and sometimes we're just like really well-spoken ladies, you know?
Yes. That took me a very long time to get comfortable with, that notion, especially because my sister is very loud and she's very different from me. And so it took me.
Yeah. You had to turn down her volume on her mic. Yes. It's that bad, Maddie. Yeah. You're listening.
We were recording in person together and I like kept going like this, like my ear was getting shocked. And so, you know, on Okie's I talk about like vagina sweat and I talk about how I can't shave my vagina being pregnant, or I'll talk about like whatever, you know what I mean? Sex and blah, blah, blah. And that is obviously not the person I present when it comes to Scout's Agency or the emotional entrepreneur. But it is a really big part of me, and it took me a while to get comfortable to be like all facets of myself on the internet. And also, like, I at this point finessed kind of like how I show up depending on who I'm talking to, etc. But that was a really big like out of my comfort zone moment, because I do think that Okie Sis is the majority of like viewed through Maddie's lens versus mine at times. Mm-hmm. But in that I've come out of my shell, I've become a lot more sillier. I've been able to be a lot more intimate and vulnerable in other places. I haven't like looked at myself as such this like serious all black business person. And that's really good for your fucking soul. And it's real. So it's been podcasting has been a journey, man.
Well, yeah, let's like take it back to the beginning, because I don't even off the top of my head honestly remember how you and Maddie got started. And obviously I know you've been in PR forever and that's such a cool story. So I want you to kind of explain your journey to where you are now, since we just kind of talked about that. Let's back it up and take me from the beginning of social media, PR, podcasting, all that good stuff.
Okay, so maybe six years ago, lived in this loft in San Diego with my husband, and across the street was a wholesale produce store. Like, they sold the groceries to restaurants, but they allowed people to walk in, like pedestrians. But no one really knew about it, but I did because I lived next door and I got a discount, so I shopped all my stuff there. And then all of a sudden they opened a podcast studio in the middle of this like warehouse place. And since I knew all the girls, I was like, yo, can I jump in there? And they just produced my podcast for free for a year. And so actually where I started. But since I wasn't treating it seriously, I wasn't taking it like a business, like it was kind of stale. I just kind of showed up and did it, whatever. And then Okie's started because Mads and I were at the Ojai Valley Inn and Spa for her birthday. We had like
the best place.
I know. We had like a bunch of rosé. We had just got massages. And I was like, I don't have a podcast episode for next week because I suck at my podcast. Will you be a guest? And so we went to the business center. We shoot the shit, whatever you say. My podcast was what you would think it would be for me. It was business. It was mental health. It was spirituality. And Mads and I were just like eating truffle chips, tipsy, talking about The Bachelor for an hour. And I was like, whoa, there's a really magnetic energy that's concentrated when Mads and I are together behind a mic. And so I texted her 2 weeks later. I was like, I should stop this and we should start a podcast together. And that's how we started Okie Sis, August 2018. And we just jumped in, and it was pretty crazy because Mads and I didn't know, like, we didn't have a career. Like, we didn't know anybody. We didn't have friends who had influence or whatever shit now. I don't know, this whole industry. And it just placed us into the room with people that we admired, like entrepreneurs, authors, reality TV stars. You know, that's how we connected. And so the power of podcasting started becoming very apparent to me, which is how I started my agency, which is essentially we run podcast tours. So we get female entrepreneurs as guests on podcasts as a form of PR to tell their stories. So that's kind of like how my business was born. And then because I live with bipolar disorder, Maddie got really sick and tired of me saying I live with bipolar disorder. And I felt as if I needed a very significant and special place to talk about my mental health journey. So I launched the Emotional Entrepreneur podcast, and then that became a book, and everything spiraled.
For some reason, I thought that the podcast in the book, was it because you changed names?
Yeah.
So the podcast, is that why I'm thinking wrong?
Yeah. The podcast started as Scout Podcast, but it was a podcast about the intersection between business and mental health. And then once I launched the book, I changed the name to The Emotional Entrepreneur, since it was like the same conversation that was being had at both.
Well, yeah. I mean, what was the journey like for you going from someone who was, you know, had just probably figured out your mental health and bipolar disorder, and then jumping into like all these new career like things, because you couldn't even like hold down a job at one point because your mental health was in such, you know, a different place than it is today.
Yeah. At the age of 20, I was formally diagnosed, and I was at college in New York, and I was on like the next flight home. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder type 2. That was almost 11 years ago. And 11 years ago, like, Instagram wasn't a thing. Podcast wasn't a thing. I couldn't, like, look up the personal brand thought expert on bipolar disorder and listen to all of their podcast episodes and feel like I had a path forward or feel like I had inspiration. I felt done for. I felt clinical. I felt crazy. I was like, I'm an insane person. And so it was a really, really big struggle. I suffered from everything from depression to anxiety to hypomania to psychosis to paranoia to suicidal ideation to catatonia, which is when my nervous system just stops and I become paralyzed for hours on end. I've been 5150. They locked me up. I've been an outpatient. I couldn't hold a minimum wage job. And it wasn't until I turned 21 and I started dating my now husband, then boyfriend, who comes from the recovery world, who looked at me and said, I don't care if you're depressed. If you're depressed and hopeful, I will stay in this relationship. If you're depressed and hopeless, I can't be here anymore.
Damn.
And that was the first time someone looked at me and was like, I acknowledge that this is real, and I'm not going to like just dim the areas that you 100% have control and can show up and take power over your life. And so that's when I started going down a really, really radical healing journey. And I found entrepreneurship at the age of 22, which, after failing 25 bajillion jobs and dropping out of college twice and like all this stuff, I was sitting at a coffee shop with a friend of mine. And I said, do you want to start a magazine? And she said, yes. And we were just going to print it at Kinko's and pass it out for free. And my mind just like fucking switched. And all of a sudden I had meetings with like the top printers, and I had to raise $10,000, and I made a Kickstarter, and we had a 3-issue run. The second was sold and distributed on newsstands across the country. The third, Barnes & Noble asked me if they could distribute my magazine, and Halsey was on the cover. And I was like, whoa. So the traditional route of college, of working the internship, of being, you know, a barista or whatever, that path didn't work for my mental illness, but entrepreneurship was a container and a framework that allowed me to take responsibility over my life, because there was all the responsibility. Like, if I didn't show up, no one would. Like, if Lauren Elizabeth doesn't show up, there is no podcast. And that's the type of almost like pressure it put on me. And I just found purpose. Like, I found passion. And so I chased entrepreneurship my entire 20s. I would say between the ages of 22 and 27, before I started Scout's agency, I did like 10 things. I like tried to do a blog. I tried to do a social media agency. I was floundering. And by the time I started Scout's agency, I wish I could say that my mental health was buttoned up and great. I think Scout's agency was the last catalyst that was like, you need to fucking deal with your shit now, or else this business will swallow you whole. And that's when I realized that entrepreneurship and owning a business is the biggest personal development game in the world. And it really provided me with that last layer of healing that I needed to, at this point today, feel very safe in my emotions. I manage my bipolar disorder beautifully. I'm not afraid of it. And in fact, it's actually transformed and changed my life for the better. Like, it's God's greatest gift to me.
Quick break to talk to you guys about Aura Organics. I've been loving Aura Organics Trust Your Gut. I'm always focused on my gut health and everything like that because it really plays a part in my mental health. Like, your gut and your mental health are totally connected. So I was just really, really excited about this. And it's been extremely effective, but also productive because I can just put it in a smoothie. I can put it in anything. Aura Organics Trust Your Gut probiotic and prebiotic supplement contains some of the world's most powerful probiotic strains, along with prebiotics to help the good bacteria thrive in your gut. So probiotics work smarter, not harder, which, you know, we love. If you didn't know, probiotics support optimal digestive health and healthy gut bacteria. So it's really great support for bloating and just common digestive issues. It's highly researched, and a mix of probiotics in your gut have also, like I said, been linked to having a strong immune system and can even impact your mood. And those are two things that I really, really need to focus on. They do have it in a capsule or a powder format. And so it's really great for smoothies or like adding to oatmeal. I really think you guys should check out Aura. They have a variety of products. It's your one-stop shop for clean quality plant-based nutrition that works. They have over 10,000 five-star reviews from happy online customers, not just me. They have real health benefits. They have incredible ingredients. It's clean. They're radically transparent, and they're focused on quality control. They test every single batch of its products at a third-party laboratory, and they publish all their test results for your view on their website. You have nothing to lose. Just try Aura products, and if you're not happy for any reason, within 60 days, you can get a full refund, no questions asked. Get 30% off your first subscription when you text MOOD to 64,000. Text MOOD to 64,000 and get 30% off your first subscription. That's MOOD to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. Terms apply. Available at AuraOrganic/terms. Back to the podcast.
Do you think that when you said, you know, you got the diagnosis and you got on the plane to go, you know, back home, do you think it was the label as well that made it even, because, you know, you said there was nothing to see on social media and podcasts to listen to. Was it the label, obviously, as well as how you were feeling, but then getting labeled like that, getting clinical, was that kind of a tough pill to swallow because you now had to identify with this clinical term?
Yeah, you know, there was...
Or was it more, like, hopeful because you were like, now I know what's wrong with me, quote unquote?
No, it was terrifying.
Right.
But it was also incredibly, what's the word, validating?
Right.
Because for so many years, I would be like, Mom, Dad, I feel like men are following me home. Like, I'm afraid someone's in my trunk. I know I looked, but I just feel like there's someone there. Like, I was losing touch with reality, and I couldn't quite grasp, is this just like what growing up is? Like in high school, they're like, well, maybe she's just hormonal. Like maybe this is just, you know, hormones. Right. And so I think for so many years, I didn't have the vocabulary and society wasn't at a point where it could really recognize things. And so I never knew if what I was experiencing was normal or if I was correct to kind of ring the bell and be like, hey, over here, need help. So when they gave it to me, I remember she called me manic depressive. I walked home to my apartment. I don't remember. I like blacked out in the room. I walked home to my apartment with my two best friends in college, and I looked at my phone and it said, what is manic depressive? And it said bipolar disorder. And I just started crying hysterically, like shaking. I was having an internal fit. I called my dad. I was on the next flight home because I didn't know anyone who even had a depression diagnosis at that point. So getting that diagnosis in the beginning was very scary. And then it allowed everybody to kind of take it very seriously. And so I got a treatment plan and I was a lot more serious than I think. And then I used it as a crutch. And then I used it as an excuse to not take accountability or be responsible or grow into my adulthood. Like, oh, sorry, I'm bipolar. Like, I can't go to the birthday party. I have so much social anxiety. Yeah. And then it kept me small. So I think that these diagnoses can provide a lot of benefit and a vehicle forward, but you have to be honest about when you are leaning on it as a crutch and when it's actually keeping you and restricting you to the box.
Yeah, because, you know, I think too, it's not one size fits all, even though, you know, medically and clinically, obviously there's definitions, there's, you know, all that stuff, but you obviously, you know, just because you have bipolar doesn't mean entrepreneurship is the solution, right? Like that was thing for you. And so I think that I say it's unique because I think your journey has been really unique in such a way too, where, you know, I think it's similar to mine as well of, oh, we go through these mental health struggles and then we find this creative and business entrepreneurial outlet. And I mean, for me, honestly, at times, I think you kind of mentioned this with, you know, Scouts Agency, but for me at times I find it
very hard, but I don't have anything to compare it to be an entrepreneur, because I'm like, sometimes like I don't want to show up because I'm anxious and I'm depressed, and it's like I have to show up. And I always like, that's why I look at you and I'm like, I can't believe how many employees you have. I'm like, well, now I'm like, I could barely have two assistants because I had to show up for like two whole people. Like I can ignore my managers and stuff. And so I think that, you know, how do you kind of, or over the years, I guess, like, how have you kind of dealt with like those days? I mean, obviously those few jobs that you, you know, quote unquote, couldn't hold down when you were at a different place though. Like, how do you manage showing up even when you're not in a good place, but you're responsible for your own career at this point?
Yeah. You know, I think that when you are the owner of a business, it comes with a lot of chains and it comes with a lot of freedom, and it's like dancing in between those. Yeah. I think we naturally think responsibility doesn't equate to freedom, but I think that in responsibility, we find greater freedoms. So, and I also, before I answer this question, I want to point out that like different businesses are for different people. Like Mads is launching her app and she's getting investors. Like, fuck no. Like, never, never in my fucking life will I get a goddamn investor. Like, I would die, right? Like,
that's interesting. I'm surprised to hear you say that.
No, I don't want a goddamn boss. Why not? That's a boss.
You know what?
That's a boss. You know, that's a boss. No way.
You don't want some money though for it?
I can make my own money. I can make my own
go
money.
Go off, sis. I'm changing OK Sis to go off, sis.
I like to make my own money every single month. I don't want anyone else's. Like, I don't want that. So, Maddie does it and it's like normal for her. She's like, yeah, that I'm going to raise money. And I was like, I would never be in a business that raises money. Some people are in a business where, you know, they don't work for 3 months out of the year. Like, it's just, you have to find what works for you. But yes, like today I have 6 employees. I have like 20 clients at a time. I have an office rent. Like there's responsibility.
Which is so gorgeous, by the way. You guys need to go follow her Instagram for Scouts Agency because it's absolutely stunning, smart, and beautiful. Yeah, continue.
It's very beautiful. It's like a concrete palace, which is my jam. You know, it started small. So I remember the first time I hired an employee, I almost threw up for 24 hours. I was so fucking scared. The second time, the same thing happened to me. The third time, you know, I only wanted to puke for 3 hours instead of 24. And now I'm like, oh, we need someone else. Da 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 da. Look at the money. Okay, yeah, hire someone. Here's what we can do. Da da. So it's a muscle that you grow over time. It wasn't like I woke up one day and I have 6 people under me that I'm responsible for. Granted, my growth was very quick. We've grown 600% since year one. We've only been in business for 3.5 years. And I'm someone who is very comfortable being in the discomfort, and I'm very impatient, so I push myself. But at this point, you know, for me, hiring a management person in between me and my account managers and my assistant was very imperative, because I actually don't like managing people. Like, that's not, like, I don't want everyone slacking me all day. I don't want to be answering a million questions. So I hired our director of clients, Heather, to manage all the account managers and oversee client health in general. So as you grow, you're able to put systems that you're not like responsible for everything. We all have our jobs. We stay in our lanes. But you know, on days where I can't show up, I think it's like going to the gym. You go and then you feel better afterwards. And so I'm always asking myself, would my future self benefit from me actually showing up, or would my future self benefit from a mental health day? And I am very honored and privileged that I get to, you know, email or Slack my assistant and be like, clear the day. Like, it's just not happening today. I need a day. But I don't abuse that, because I have abused it in the past. Like, I have been like, oh, I don't feel well, can't show up, bye. And that's really not served me. So just because it's uncomfortable, and just because you have anxiety, and just because you might be sad that day, that's not necessarily an indication that it's time to take a mental health day. What you might actually need is to show up for your responsibilities and be accountable, because that gives you a sense of purpose and confidence. So, but yeah, if I need a mental health day, I probably take like 5 a year at this point. Like, I probably, I'm like, yo, clear my calendar and need some time. And I can do that, but I would prefer to show up, because I do believe that that's what my future self needs from me.
I absolutely love that so much. And I think, you know, that's why I always say make the choice and then be confident. And like, you've made the choice, stick with it, and really being able to kind of think through that in a sense of, am I just going to take the mental health day and then feel guilty about it the entire time? Then what's the point of taking it, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's something I've definitely learned within myself of sometimes, I even say on the podcast, sometimes I'm like, just get the thing done now. Like, you're thinking about it, do it, get it done. And you're right. It gives you something to be proud of yourself for. And that's really, really important when you are someone that has a lot of anxiety and thoughts and all these things, because then that's such a positive thought that you did all by yourself. And I think that, you know, a lot of times too, everything's going on in my brain and I can't even kind of, you know, put the story of even my own journey together because of just, I'm so focused on, like you are, like being hardworking and keeping going. So how was it kind of writing your kind of story out in the Emotional Entrepreneur book and kind of laying it all out there? And like, what was that process like for you emotionally and just work-wise?
So writing the book, weirdly, was the easiest thing I've ever done.
I remember you saying that. Yeah. I was so jealous.
It's so easy. Business, hard. Like, I'll give it to it. Like, I'm honest about where I struggle and where shit's hard. But when I decided, I think what was really helpful for me is that when I decided to write a book, I've always wanted to write a book. It was my first career goal when I was like 5. And you know, it has to be the right time and it has to be the right concept and it has to be the right book for you. And I really, really came on that. I hired Rhea from Right Way to help me create a proposal and an outline and really think about what my book was. And I played to my strengths. So I've been writing my whole life. That's the first thing I've done. It's the first thing I love to do. And I know that I have always had a difficulty writing long form short stories or long form essays or long form formats. I always write very like more like flash fiction or flash nonfiction. And so I knew that writing my first book, the chapters had to be short and bite-sized because that's just how I naturally write. So I was setting myself up to write in the way that I am best at. So I was like, okay, if it has to be short, bite-sized things, my first book shouldn't necessarily go into one thing very in-depth. My book is like, it's called The Emotional Entrepreneur. It's the emotional guidebook to entrepreneurship. And it's comprised of 25 emotional lessons. Any one of those lessons, like reframing pregnancy, like I like mix fucking words up, reframing your relationship to anxiety or getting an ROI on your pain or living with uncertainty or figuring out your money mindset. Those could all be books, every chapter. Yeah,
right.
So I told myself, my first book, I want to be more general. I want to be more applicable to like a mass audience. And I want them to be short chapters. And so that's how I came up with this format. And then I wrote the outline with Rhea. And so I had a summary about what every chapter was going to be about. So by the time it came to write it, I wrote it in like a month and a half. It was not difficult. It flew out of me. And also these were things that I have been talking about on my podcast and percolating with my coach and working on personally. So these were topics that I intimately knew well and felt that I had something to say. So when it came time to write, one, writing being one of my natural gifts, two, organizing the book to play to my strengths, and then three, really organizing and understanding what the book was for, who it was for, what it was about. By the time I wrote it, it was like it slipped out of me.
I mean, you really set yourself up for success from the beginning, which I think is applicable into so many different parts of people's life, like really playing to your strengths, delegating where you need help. And I think it's really important that people remember just that behind a successful woman is just like smart delegation and like really being able to understand your strengths, your weaknesses, and how you are going to best succeed, not how other people say success is made. And I think that there are, like you said, so many lessons in the book. Is there kind of a general consensus or something that has surprised you from like your readers that like they're really gravitating towards?
I think what surprised me is that so many women felt as if the emotional challenges of entrepreneurship, like that they were the only ones feeling that and that that meant something about their purpose. So I wrote the book because when I started Scouts Agency, I was like, holy shit, I am a people pleaser and I started a client-based industry and I can't turn this off and I'm sick to my stomach if a client emails me anything that's unfavorable in the slightest. And I recognized that the success of my agency was not going to be about my marketing campaign, my ability to manage a P&L. The success of Scouts Agency was going to be me breaking through that emotional insecurity and emotional pattern that I have. And so I hit a six-figure revenue year one, not because I knew what the fuck I was doing. I've never worked in PR, people, okay? I'm a college dropout. I had zero connections. Like, the reason I was successful was because I emotionally showed up for every challenge that came my way. Mm-hmm. And I emotionally worked on myself. I looked at my business as a reflection and map towards my personal development. And then I was talking to my friends and women that were highly educated, highly resourced, highly connected, weren't starting their businesses, not because they couldn't do it today and have people behind them and have money and have this and have that, but because they were afraid, because they didn't believe in themselves, because they were worried about what people would think. They didn't understand how to handle uncertainty when it came to income. And so I said, this is just an emotional game. Like, this is all this is. This is an emotional game. And I was so shocked at how emotional it was, having come from like 12 years of therapy. You think I'd like kind of know how to do this, right? And even I was like, whoa, I feel like I'm hit by a boulder. So that's why I wrote the book. And I was just so shocked at the amount of women who were like, I'm crying at page 5. I feel like you wrote this for me. I didn't know that other people felt this emotionally powered, whatever, strong about their businesses. And that's like, I knew it would resonate, but I was a little bit worried about combining mental health and business, because I guess that that isn't like a topic people talk about. But I was shocked at how many people I think in the dark have been struggling on an emotional mental health wise because of their businesses, but knowing that their business is their purpose and they're in alignment. And so not to experience discomfort and be like, oh, I guess I'm not supposed to be doing this, but rather looking at it as an invitation, like, no, I just have to strengthen this part of myself because this is the path that I meant to walk down. And so that's what I was a little bit shocked by, is that how universal the challenge was.
That 100%. And then, I mean, now that you are both an author and podcaster and boss, and now you're pregnant, how has your mental health been now that you've been, I mean, caring for like 6 months? Like, how are you dealing with everything growing literally within business and within your body and changing your life?
You know, pregnancy has been an extremely large initiation for me, and I've gone through many phases, and I'm so grateful to have gone through them, and they were very challenging at times. Mm-hmm. So before I got pregnant, it took me a year and a half. I had a conversation with one of my mentors. She's not a mom, but she's this very successful entrepreneur. And I said, hey, maybe I'm not supposed to be a mom. Like, maybe I'm supposed to be just an entrepreneur. Like, maybe the career path is just the one for me. And I'm worried now because I'm not getting pregnant, so I'm having all this time to think about it. Like, what's going to happen to me when I give birth and become a mom? Because my identity and my fulfillment and my confidence and my where I feel the most empowered is in business. It just is. Mm-hmm. And there is a reality and a truth to carrying and having a child that changes that dynamic significantly. And so I was asking myself all the questions. And then I went through an intense spiritual clarity awakening about a month, honestly, like 2 weeks before I conceived. It was a crazy, like, come to God. Like, I was on my knees crying hysterically in my shower telling God, no, this is exactly what I want. I want to be a mom. I'm very clear on it. And I'm not negotiating my desires with you. I'm telling you what I desire. And I went through a crazy like manifestation process, and literally 2 weeks later conceived, like the first time my husband and I tried in the new house. And there was all this crazy fucking stuff going on, like crazy. Like, we picked the nursery room before we bought it, and there was a cockroach in there when I went. And if you look it up, that's the symbol of fertility in the nursery. And I was like,
shut up.
I was like, this is crazy. I've never been so grateful that a cockroach is in my house.
Yeah, right.
And then I got pregnant, and then the first week was bliss. I had never felt that type of meaning in my life. And then I got very fucking sick for weeks and weeks and weeks on end. Months, pretty much. And my output and my ability to create and my ability to lead and dream and be passionate and fulfilled just went out the fucking window. And I was just contained mostly to my bed. I had to step back. I think I was operating at like 20 to 30% capacity, if that. And someone who struggles with a mental health problem, and then you take them out of the things that make them feel confident, you take them out of their morning routines, you upside down the whole fucking thing, right? I couldn't even do my morning routine. I got very depressed. And I was scared. I was like, I want to feel like myself. Like, I don't feel like me. my business took a little bit of a slump 1 month because I wasn't able to be there. And then I was starting to feel the pressures of being an entrepreneur and being a mother. And now I have a mortgage and like all these things. And I went through it for a couple weeks. I was like, this is insane. I can't believe women go through this. It reframed my entire relationship to feminism and what I was taught.
Right.
And it was a really, really deep uncovering and like completely transforming me. And I was like, there has to be a reason this is happening to me. Like, there has to be a reason my baby girl is giving me this difficult of a pregnancy. And then in the last couple weeks, that reason was revealed. And it's because she was completely changing everything, like throwing my routines out the window, throwing my output out the window. And then I was like, okay, since I can't be as productive, I have to cut the fat in all areas. And then she provided me with a very clear vision forward for my business that was focused and aligned. It allowed me to say no to all the fluff all of a sudden. It allowed me to get very clear on where I want to take my business. It allowed me to get very clear on how I want to spend my days. And all of a sudden, she was healing me in so many ways. And like, I can say now at this point, like, I love her beyond what I can even explain. I cry and I haven't even met her. And I'm so excited to be a mom. And I'm so grateful that she turned my life upside down for 4 months straight so that I could reorganize this shit and get really clear. And I now know that those paths are totally clear. And like, my business will fucking soar next year. Like, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts. And my life and my heart is going to create like a new chamber that I didn't even know was possible, which will be being her mom. And so it's beautiful and it's messy and you get shameful thoughts and you get scared. But I think that I'm so grateful that I allowed myself to be really introspective during those moments and really, really like do hypnotherapy and reparent little me and talk about my motherhood wounds and what being an entrepreneur means and what feminism means to me and come out the other end with clarity. And I know that when she's born, it'll be a whole other initiation. So now I'm like happy and grateful and look so cute with my bump. And
I was going to say, I do look amazing.
Thank you.
You're like grateful. Literally look so cute. I'm like, oh my God, pregnancy goals. Like you just like turn to the side, you pop out your little bump.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, honestly, like thank God you had those 4 months so that it's not like, oh my God, she comes and you're like, wow,
that's okay.
You've already fucked up my life a little bit. Like I don't fully know what to expect, but I know that I'm able to at least get through those 4 months.
Yeah.
I can get through probably like sleep training and all that shit. Because I mean, at this point, everyone I follow that's, you know, around our age is like having a baby. And I'm like, I'm over here going out, like getting pizza and beer and like being like, oh, wow, they're starting sleep training.
You are living the life. I'm vicariously living through your Instagram. I'm like, God, I wish I could day drink.
Well, you're also on the close friends story. So, you know, you know the vibes.
I forget
No, I know, because you get to see like me and my friends like doing all the crazy shit before it makes it to TikTok. But yeah. I'm like literally just, I feel like you are exactly what I needed to hear today. And I hope everyone like loves and appreciates this conversation as much as I truly, truly did. And obviously they need to go read your book. They need to follow you, listen to your podcast. So please direct them to you, because honestly, I'm going to not be selfish and then make you tell me a bunch of personal advice. So I'll just like save that for a later date and they can go to you for other stuff.
No, oh, I love you. You guys can follow me on Instagram at Scott Sobel. That's the best place. You can find my book there, all my podcasts, my agency, you know, all the link in bio, all that good shit's all there.
All the good shit.
You can DM me. I'll answer you. I like talking about mental health stuff and all that good thing. So that's probably the best place to find me.
Oh, you're amazing. Thank you so much. I adore you.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode of Mood. I'm Lauren Elizabeth, and I am so grateful for you guys. Make sure to go to shoplaurenelizabeth.com to get whatever is left on the site, because it doesn't come back, you know? I mean, you might as well. Follow me on Instagram at Lauren Elizabeth, and follow Mood with Lauren Elizabeth on Instagram for mood boosters all throughout the week, and so I can repost your stories. Make sure to check out the YouTube videos for even more, youtube.com/lovelaurenelizabeth, and I will talk to you guys next week. Bye.